Your Bibles will up. Psalm 116. Been singing for our chorus here the last couple Sundays. It's verse number 13. I asked those who were here this morning about this verse at the beginning of services when we sang our chorus that we have from this verse. And I asked a question in that, and I pray the Lord will help us to see what the answer to that is. Here in Psalm 116, verse number 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. Thank you, Father, for your provision in the day and Lord, this first day of the week in which you've blessed with that we might honor you and glorify you and honor and glorify the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he's done for us. Thank you, Father, that he gave him his life, a ransom for your people. Thank you, Father, that he died for us. Not only that he died, he was buried. And Lord, not only that he was buried, but in your great power, your great ability, your great wonder, and just marvelousness of your greatness and power and majesty, Father, he rose from the dead. Lord, we thank you that we can worship you today and celebrate that and praise your name on that over that and declare that unto those that come in the services. And Father, we thank you, Father, for your provision in every way. Pray that you'd help us this morning as we look into your word. We'd see about the truth of your word, Father. You'd help us in it. And Lord, we might grow in the grace and knowledge of you. We might be edified and built up in your most holy faith. Help, Father, those that are here, even this morning by their own testimony, Lord, that are not saved. We pray that you might show them the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you might show them and reveal unto them this cup of salvation. Lord, you might reveal and show unto them that they need to call unto you. Lord, work. And save sinners as you only can. We pray you'd bless and work in it. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here in Psalm 116, the scripture says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Here this psalm, we don't know who the writer is. It's later on in the book. And as we consider the book of Psalms, some 75, over half, or half to maybe a few less are certainly attributed to David. But there were other psalmists that wrote, and they're in the scripture here, and we have them. They're from the Lord. And this chorus is, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. It's a simple chorus, and it's singing the word of God here. This morning, we want to take a look at the context of that passage and see what this psalm is about. And may the Lord help us and speak to us in this. And let's see, what is this psalm all about? Verse number one, I love the Lord, the psalmist writes, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. We love him because he first loved us, amen? And he's the one that brought the word of his love towards sinners to us. We didn't seek it out ourselves. We didn't even know about it in and of ourselves. But the Lord has worked with his people, his word, his churches, to bring that word unto us. Somebody was a witness to you, whether they were your family, whether they were your neighbor, some of your kin, or you heard the word of God from the preaching, from the pulpit of one of the Lord's churches. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Here the psalmist says, he hears me. I've brought something to him and he has heard me. Verse number two, because I love him, I love the Lord. Verse two, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. He has that inclining means to bend down and listen. He hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. He's heard me. Was there a time that the Lord heard you? That the Lord, with his word, his preaching, his teaching from his men and from his people, showed you the truth about you and you had a problem. A problem you couldn't do anything about. A problem that had the Lord not brought any more word to you, it would have been a problem indeed that would have brought you to the depths of despair. And maybe even did. Amen? The truth of God's word. But see, he said he's heard me. We that are saved, can't we say that? Has not the Lord heard? Has not the Lord heard our giving up on self? Our claim to any other way of salvation and deliverance? Has not the Lord heard? I give up on me, Lord. You've got to do something. He says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. We that are saved, do we have who in heaven have we but the Lord? Amen. We're to pray to the Father, petition the Father in the name of our Savior. Verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. And when a sinner sees himself the way that he is, that's all he's got. Trouble and sorrow, woe and misery, certain death and doom. The psalmist says that that's the way it was with me. I saw no hope in self. I saw no hope in life. Sorrows of death compassed me. It's from this that I cried unto the Lord. The pains of hell get hold on me. I tell you what, before the Lord saved me and that conviction and that condemnation, I had times, and there at the time that the Lord saved me, I felt as if hell was just going to open up and just might as well receive me. I was that undone. I was that doomed. I was that hopeless. Verse 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. That's what the sinner is brought to. No hope but Christ. No hope but the Lord. No other way than what the Lord will do for the sinner. To the end of self. To the end of taking one's taking the side of the Lord against oneself. Yes, I'm doomed. I'm wicked. I'm a sinner. I have no hope. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. I like what it says over here in Psalm 20. Take a look over here quickly in Psalm 20, the last verse of this psalm. This is a verse that's very special to me. It has helped me over the years. The psalmist ends up, David ends up this psalm in verse number 9 of Psalm 20. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. You hear the magnitude of and the impact of that? Save, Lord. He is God. And he's the one that can do something in spite of this impossible thing that I am in. Let the king hear us when we call. He's ruler of all. King of kings, Lord of lords. If anybody's going to have to do something, it's the Lord's going to have to do something. And oh, Father, save. Save, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call. He says there in Psalm 116, verse 4, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. In Luke chapter 23, do you remember this? In Luke 23, Luke chapter 23, as our Lord Jesus is there on the cross, hung between two malefactors, two men that were guilty of wickedness and terrible crime. So our Lord hangs there in Luke chapter 23. In verse number 39, we pick up what the scripture says, and one of the malefactors in Luke 23:39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? A little while ago, this man was doing the same. But he's seen those things that have come to pass. He's heard some of the words that the Lord has said. He's seen those that have looked on, and maybe even the things that have come to pass, if it's later in the afternoon of that 6 hours that our Lord hung on the cross. And he says, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? He said, don't you fear God, railing on this man this way? We indeed justly, we've got it coming. You and I both know it. We're guilty. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Did he hear the Lord say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? He said, what? What? I know what they're doing. They're putting me to death because of what I've done. But this man says this. We indeed justly, he tells that other man. This man, though in between us, he's done nothing amiss. And listen to what he says. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, an acknowledgement that he is Lord. He is the greatest. There's none other beyond him. He is the end. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Here I am on this tree, nailed to it. I can't get down from here. I'm surely going to die. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He had come to know what the Lord was doing, didn't he? Amen. He had come to know and understood who the Lord was. He called him Lord as much. Do you call the Lord Jesus Lord with affection because of what he's done for you? Lord, remember me, because there's not a thing I can do. I have no hope, no ability, no, I can't do a thing. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This man had seen himself as he was, hadn't he? This man had knew that he was guilty, and this man saw the Savior as his only hope. He called out to him, didn't he? Lord, remember me, because I don't have any hope at all. Remember me. Remember me. And Jesus said unto him, verily, truly, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Who was it that made the guarantee? It was the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? Who was it that saved the sinner? Who was it that gave the sinner hope and promise? It was Jesus. The sinner, by the revelation of the Lord and the truth of God's word and the word being hung there on the tree beside him, said, help me. Remember me. Because I can't do a thing for myself. I need you to remember me. And the Lord said, done. Today. You'll be with me in paradise. Oh, what a trip from being hung on a cross and legs broken and strangled and suffocate to death to ushered into the paradise of God with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Isn't salvation great? It is. Back in Psalm 116, verse 5, listen to this. Gracious is the Lord. Ha, and righteous. Gracious is the Lord. Indeed, he's gracious. He gives and gives and gives. He gives the word. He gives the message. He sent the prophets. He sent the preacher. John the Baptist's life. John the Baptist's whole life taken to be a ministry and a witness and a testimony to you and me. You ever think about it? God used John the Baptist's whole life to be a witness to you and me. And I've got trouble serving the Lord and obeying him. It's a condemnation to myself. Gracious is the Lord, the psalmist says. And righteous. Oh, it's by his righteousness that we have righteousness. Amen. And God is merciful. God gave time, was long-suffering, was patient to give it time for the things that he purposed to do and the word and the spirit to work. I should have never been born. I should have never lived. And in Adam, I had no hope. My daddy Adam should have been killed when he disobeyed God. But the Lord's merciful, isn't he? He doesn't give what's deserved right off, but he gives time for his grace and his word and his work to work. Amen. Mm-hmm. Verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. He makes the simple to be able to hear and to see, doesn't he? The one that just wants to chase after sin and wickedness and live up life for himself. The Lord preserves even him, doesn't he? I was brought low, and he helped me. And I tell you what, I needed to be brought low because I was full of pride, full of self, full of my own way. But praise be to God that he takes his word and he takes his spirit and he brings the sinner low. Low that he might look up. Remember what he cried? He heard my voice and my supplications because he inclined my ear unto me. Sorrows, verse 3, and death compassed me and the pains of hell get hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. I was scared to death before the Lord saved me. And when he began to show me his truth, I was scared of death, of dying. I was afraid to die because I knew where I would go. Where will you go when you die? Where will you go and why when you die? He preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, verse 7. O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. After saving us and making us his child, does it not just get better and better? Blessings on this life. Blessings in obedience. As Brother Stephen again, there the Lord showing us in that book of Hebrews about that honor roll of faith. The children, the people of God received blessing in obeying the Lord. They had peace with the Lord. Things that weren't necessarily good on their skin, but I tell you what, they had peace and rest with the Lord, didn't they? Confidence in the Lord, rest in the Lord, faith. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Now, after salvation, he can rest, can he? Rest in the Lord. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. He's delivered me in every way. No matter what happens to me in this life, my Lord has delivered me. And he's delivered me in this life too. I was delivered my soul from death, eternal death, in a lake of fire, separated from God, in darkness, bearing the torment of the flame and of the brimstone and the wrath of God eternally. My soul from death, mine eyes from tears. There's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in hell this morning. And the Lord has delivered us from that. And my feet from falling, especially falling into that deep, deep, deep pit of the judgment and wrath of God forever. Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Having been brought from death unto life, the day star, the day dawning and the day star shining in us, we've got life. We got a reason for living. We have a life now that is going to go to eternity, from here to eternity. In the land of the living, I believed, therefore have I spoken. That's what he said. I believed it. I know it's so. And I'm telling about it. A witness. A witness is what the people of God are called to. I believed, therefore have I spoken. If it's good for me, won't it be good for the sinner in need? Amen. Don't they need to hear? I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, and we would think that word to mean being in a hurry, being in a rush, but the way that what that word means in the Hebrew is fear and trembling. I said in my fear, in my trembling, all men are liars. I'm a liar. See, Look what it says in Psalm 32. This thing is salvation. It's not about a show or a put on. A lot of people, I believe, are living that way. Thinking that religion, thinking that salvation is a show or a put on. In Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed or happy, touched by the Lord, is that what that word blessed means? Is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed, happy, touched by the Lord, is he whose sin is covered by the blood of the Lamb. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, because Jesus paid for it all. Blessed is the man in whose spirit there is no guile, deception. This salvation and service and walk with the Lord in eternal life and unto eternal life in the ages to come, it's not about people, us, faking one another out, making us feel good, and making one another feel like we're some good religious thing. There's a lot of people living that way. We are to be a good witness of good things. But this salvation, as we are going to see, it works itself from the inside out. It's not a reforming of the soul from outside to within. It's not about deception, in whose spirit there is no guile. No, I was a sinner. And I was in need. And the Lord said that he sent a Savior. And he said, cry unto me, come unto me, receive my son. And he'd save. And you know what? What his word says is true. He did. And he has. I said in my fear, in my haste, back in Psalm 116:11, all men are liars. And that's the truth. But salvation is true. Salvation is not about lying. Salvation is not about deception. Religion, true religion, and a worship and service of the Lord and being his child is not about faking out men. But it's about pure truth and honesty before God. Verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? What? Nothing. I've got nothing that I can do so. I can't buy it from the Lord. I can't pay it to the Lord. He said very much that it's free. It's free. He gave his son freely. His son gave himself freely. What's it say up there? He's gracious, isn't he? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me, the psalmist says. You say that here this morning? What? What? Look in Romans chapter 12. Although there's nothing that we can pay the Lord, he does say this, doesn't he? In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's just getting started. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? The psalmist says, what can I render? Nothing. What can I render to the Lord for his benefits towards me? Nothing. He's been gracious. Yet he says, I want it all. We're his. Been bought with a price. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not with silver and gold or the things of this world, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Verse 13 of Psalm 116. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I asked the question this morning. What's in the cup? What is it that's in the cup? That would be the title of the message. What's in the cup? Look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, you're familiar here with the Lord dealing with this woman at the well at Sychar. And he must needs go through Samaria, it says in verse number 4 of this chapter. And listen to what the Lord, as he deals with this woman here, in verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, John 4, 7, Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, listen, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you knew who I was, who I am, you would ask of me. Isn't that what he said? You would ask of me, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, pointing to that in the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, ask, receive. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What's in the cup? The everlasting water, living water of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. It is. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. What's in the cup? What's in the cup of salvation? The living water of Jesus. John chapter 7, verse number 37. John 7, 37. In that day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Are you thirsty? Go unto Jesus and drink. Amen. Are you thirsty? I pray you're thirsty. Nothing grieves my soul more than seeing somebody that's without Christ and lost and undone in their sins and have no concern for their soul. No thirst. No concern. Seemingly the Word of God has no relevance to them, they think, or it appears. But God says, if any man, the Lord Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Water. What's in the cup? The living water of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And remember, we know that this book is written to the Lord's people. But this book also, I believe, is written for the sake of the warning of the Lord in the world. Something that the Lord just showed me here that I had not seen before. In Revelation chapter 10, I want you to go there first. Listen to what the Lord says after telling John to take the little book from the hand of the angel and eat it. He says, that book, when you eat it, it's going to be sweet, but it's going to make your belly bitter. It's going to be the good, sweet word of God. But it's going to have some dreadful and terrible things in it. They're necessary to be. And listen to what verse number 11 of chapter 10 of Revelation, what the Lord says to John. This is just as an aside. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. What do you think John's going to prophesy? He's going to prophesy the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ given to him on the Isle of Patmos, because these things are the word of God and the warning of God to sinners. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, It says here in Revelation 1, 2, and 3, who bear record of the word of God, John speaking of himself, okay, and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Child of God, to rejoice in the coming kingdom and power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They hear the words of this prophecy that readeth, and they, blessed are they that readeth and hear the words of this prophecy. Sinner, without Christ, that you may be warned, because this is going to happen. This is going to come to pass. And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now back to our subject in Revelation chapter 21 in verse number 6. What's in the cup? The living water of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 6 of Revelation 21, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the water, the fountain of the water of life freely. Amen. Same thing he told the woman at the well at Sychar. Amen. Same thing that he said and declared there on the great day of the feast. Come unto me, and I'll give you some living water. And you know what? It'll spring up inside you, a well of life. And then in Revelation chapter 22, we see here the Lord speaking here and telling about the angel in verse number 16. He says, I'm sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And I believe that's the ministration that the angels do in bringing the word of God to John, and that John himself is declared as such. He's an apostle, and he is a minister of the Lord. And he tells that he's the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, this is John writing. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's the same thing that the Lord's been saying from Sychar, the well at Sychar. Come unto the Lord, and he'll give you some living water. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, understand, the sinner does not save himself. It's Jesus that saves. But it is the Lord that has declared his word. And he says, come, come, come. In Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel chapter 18. This prophecy here from the prophet Ezekiel is, of course, unto the nation. But it gives a principle here that is so. The Lord himself saying unto Ezekiel here in Ezekiel 18, verse number 23, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? There's a call that goes out. Will you hear it? Oh, I pray that you will. I pray to God that you will. And he should... And that not that he should return from his ways and live. In verse number 31 of the same chapter in Ezekiel, cast away from you all your transgressions. Repent, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. And saith the Lord God, wherefore turn yourselves to who? To him. And live ye. In chapter 33, in verse number 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. Oh, why will ye die, O house of Israel? He comes on down here in Psalm 116, and back in Psalm 116, we see here that he says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. What's in the cup? The living word of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was something that I was told this week, and just a thing that the Lord brought to heart and mind about the way that it is in this world. Understand, folks, there are folks that are living in this day and always have, that are chasing spirituality. And when we're talking about, when I say that, about when I say spirituality, I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit of God and being alive in Christ, because that's what spirituality is. There are those that are chasing spirituality by doing and saying things to seemingly prove to others their spirituality. You hear that? They live a life. They live a life where they are constantly challenged and believe that they need to declare to others that they are spiritual, that they have life within. The Lord Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. He told him, said, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. He said, like the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you heareth the sound thereof, but you don't know where it comes, and you don't know where it's going. You see the action of it, but you don't see it. It's that way of the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. These that are pursuing a thing that can only come from the Spirit of God living within, by what they say and what they do and what they proclaim to others to make them make others think that they are spiritual, they are falling so short, because you know what spirituality comes from? The Spirit of God living within and faith. See, the person that has faith, the person that is saved, has nothing to prove to anybody. Amen? Because the one that is saved and resting in the Lord has nothing to prove to anybody. They have been saved. They have, if you will, taken the cup of salvation and drunk of that living water, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is peace and contentment right there within. There's nothing to prove. Do you have anything to prove? Spirituality, the Spirit of God living within, is based on faith. God said it, we believe it and receive it, and have been changed and touched by Him. We don't have to prove it to anybody. But because those, hear me, those that have to continually declare how spiritual, how faithful, how good they are in the walk and the service of the Lord, they're pursuing a thing, thinking that they can work it from the outside in, because they don't have faith. Self-justifying. We're justified by Christ. Amen. He died for me. I am what I am by the grace of God, a saved sinner. What I am to do is I'm to manifest what's within just by living life before others and being a witness. Yeah, I hope that you can see that. I seem as if I struggle to convey. There are those that declare their spirituality continually by what they do and what they're involved with and such as that, and they're chasing after that by trying to get the accolades and the confidence and the okay of one another. When spirituality comes from the Spirit of God living within and faith in the Lord Jesus, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says. And we need to be a good witness. The one saved, the child of God, has nothing to prove, but has everything to live by faith. Let's make the connection. Is your well springing up? Huh? Or do you have to tell everybody your well springing up? Amen? Is your well springing up? Isn't that what the Lord said to that said to the woman there in John chapter 4? Is your well springing up? He said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Is your well springing up? You won't have to tell folks your well springing up. It'll just come out. Amen? Amen? There is no deception, no guile in salvation, we read, but faith alone. Not proving we're saved, but living for the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, take a look over here. Hang in there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 12. The apostle has dealt with this church at Corinth, had dealing with them, and they're doubting that he has authority to deal with them the way that he does. He is an apostle of the Lord and can do so. He says, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance." You know, the child of God doesn't glory in appearance, but rather this, and not in heart. That's where the child of God glories, is in heart, in the soul, in faith, in the new birth, in the rescue of the Lord, and the fruit of the Spirit being born. In chapter 10 of this same book, verse number 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Is your well springing up? You don't have anything to prove as a child of God. Just live for the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Our salvations are connected together here in our service and call in the church. But you know what? My salvation has nothing to do with yours. Yours has nothing to do with mine. And he's not saying figure it out, but he's saying work it out from the inside out. Okay. Amen. Is your well springing up? Amen. Is your well springing up? 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren," 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling an election sure." Have you been called by the Lord? Sinner, are you being called by the Lord, by his word, by the truth of his word? Hear it. "Make your calling and election sure. For if you obey, do these things, adding to faith, you shall never, never fall." Amen? Because you're secure in Christ. Back in Psalms 116, verse 13, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." It's only by the Lord that we can be helped and delivered. Verse number 14, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." We don't live in a day where the vow is important. Rather than making a vow, the Lord says, "Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay, and give your body a living sacrifice to the Lord." Precious, verse 15, "in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Why is that? Because the redemption of a soul is indeed precious. And what is there more precious than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is more precious than that? "And the Lord bringing us and delivering us completely from sin, even the sin of this life, the offering for our soul and the deliverance of our soul from this wicked world is indeed precious in the sight of our Lord." Our death is a deliverance indeed. "O Lord, truly I am thy servant." I am thy servant. Whose servant are you? Is your well? Is your water bubbling up? Is it springing up? I truly am thy servant. "I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bond. Set me free." Amen. "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." Amen. He saved us. He heard our cry. He showed us the truth, and we were in despair, nigh into despair, and he heard our cries, saved our souls, delivered us, rescued us, provided the atonement, the Savior, the Redeemer. And you know what? We'll keep on living the same way. Hear that? Repentance and faith unto salvation is the beginning of a life of repentance and faith. I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. We read over there in Romans 12, 1 and 2, how we are to offer our lives a living sacrifice unto the Lord in the courts of the Lord's house. In the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. A witness of what the Lord has done. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.